great. I'm so excited to be here, the Meltdown Moms, tonight.
Yes.
We are again in Meredith's house.
We're at my living room. We're drinking a little rosé tonight.
We are.
That's right. And this is the Meltdown Moms show, produced by Adam Silverstein and Mason Booker. If you want to find us, we're at meltcomics.com. Or if you want to find me, I mean, not literally me, but
I'll give you her address later.
If you want to find me, I'm at badsandy.com, which is my humor blog.
And I am aprilpevetaux.com, P-E-V-E-T-E-A-U-X, or you can find me at glutenismybitch.
And I wanted to say, because we've never said this, if you ever want to send us a note, ask a question, ask us if we, certain guests you'd love us to have, certain subjects you'd love us to cover, just go to either of our places of blogship.
Of blogging.
And write us a note and tell us what you think. Compliments preferred. But any questions you have or
only
suggestions.
Compliments.
Yes. If you have criticisms, our blogs don't work.
Yes. Sorry. User unknown. Yes. But here we are. We're very excited. It's award season here in Hollywood.
That's right.
And as we all know, we're all aware, and we're all like, what has happened yet again? Some of us maybe more than others. We have all these white people being nominated for Oscars.
Yay. Not us.
Yay,
but
white
not
people.
Us.
Yay, white people.
Not us. You guys have had a hard time.
So. I know you feel
it's
for us.
Rough.
I know.
It's been rough. We need
you.
Awards.
I know. We need all the awards. So today our topic is going to be Black Girls on hashtag Oscars So White. And before we get to that topic, which I'm really excited to introduce you to some amazing screenwriters here in Hollywood. I need to ask Meredith, how was your week?
April, so my week was okay. The Hubs has been out of town for 3 out of 4 weeks of this month, or will be. So, and he
is that
works,
a record?
No, it's not a record. So my husband produces reality TV. So like he was one of the producers on The Apprentice. So he would be gone for 3 months at a time.
Wow. That you can was tell us things fun. About Trump, I'm hoping, at some point.
You know, he just got interviewed on NPR about Trump and he was very forthcoming.
Mm. Ooh, good.
I'm going to Google that.
I want to hear it.
Yeah. So basically what you see is what you get with Trump, and what you get isn't nice. But
right.
This week he has actually been here. So in that, it is nice to have an extra set of hands with the kids. But there is also, you get into a groove when the spouse is away.
Yes, you do.
My pet peeve is when he has travel that starts on Sunday. Like, I don't mind during the week because you sort of...
Yeah, you have a thing during
the
week.
Yeah, we just work long hours and, you know, we're used to that. But on the weekend, I'm like, oh, this is a lot of time to be with the people I love and to be alone
Small
with them.
People you
like,
cherish
I'm it. Good at sort of... I can do Legos for a while, but there's a point where my rules about no screens or... any other rule I have just goes out the window, and suddenly we're getting takeout. We're watching iPads all day.
I want to come over here. I
the
be
wheels
your kid.
Fall off the engine when the Hubs is away. So, but otherwise, I can't complain. It's pretty good.
All right, that's good. I'm glad. I'm happy for you.
And not too many meltdowns.
Not too many meltdowns
on this meltdown mom.
I'm sure there's a few, one or two.
Yeah. The homework meltdown.
Well, that's always there. Yeah. Always.
What about you, April? How are you? How was your week?
It's okay. I'm feeling like a very modern problem, and I just keep thinking about my own mom and what she would say if she were here, because I have this I did my taxes this week, which is just so much fun. It's again that time of year. And I was looking through like what we, because I work, my husband works, we both work, and so you need childcare, especially during the summer when, you know, there's no school to take them
well,
away.
When did summer break become like 3.5 months?
Crazy.
Like
it's insane. And it's like, how do we work at a job? And I'm working all summer. I'm working for 6 months to pay for that 3 months of like summer camps and childcare. And that's, you know, and it is a tax write-off. Great.
Wait, summer camp is a tax write-off?
Yeah.
Very small
tax write-off. But I just couldn't believe what we spent last summer on summer camps and childcare because we both work.
You know, we stopped doing the math on that because it was such a disturbing number that doesn't...
You're like, head in the sand.
Like, yeah, I'm already fine with not adding up my personal credit card bill, like the shoe bill. I'm totally down with like, we're going to pretend like this never happened.
Right.
But
right.
It's like, you know, a one-night stand is my shoe bill. Like, let's just move on.
Just moving on. Nobody's
like
been hurt.
Happen. Yeah. No. Well.
Do the shoes have their own credit card?
No.
That's a great question. That is a great question.
I would love it.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a very distressing, and I just kept thinking, like, my mom would, I don't know, like, I feel like my mom is, like, watching me from wherever she is, like, ashamed of the money I'm spending on childcare during the summer, because
I feel like our parents are would be ashamed. Mine are both still living, and they're probably horrified just the way we, I mean, just where we go to dinner used to be, like, Sizzler. It's your 16th birthday.
Seriously, it's your birthday. We're going to the Sizzler. Yeah.
And now it's like my kids are like, I want to go to Connie and Ted's. I want to go to Water Grill. I love salmon.
Screw that.
I'm like, you little fuckers, you're eating too well.
No.
But then it's also nice that they can.
This isn't a wedding. Salmon. Just get a fish stick or something.
Whenever I, like, I have an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old, and when I try to, like, do the Trader Joe's, you know, lasagna or whatever, they're like, what is this?
No.
They won't eat it.
Oh, my God.
They're like, mommy, something smells funny. I'm like, it's your fucking dinner is what it is.
Yeah, eat it.
No, they won't eat it.
Go to bed.
And the one's like, can I have the wonton soup with the shrimp? And I'm like, we have spoiled these children.
Yeah.
They're fantastic eaters, but now it's biting us in the tail.
Yes. As I saw my taxes.
Yes.
Way too much. Way too much fun and way too much education.
Do you think I can write off... Can I write off salmon for an 8-year-old? And
you can try. Did you talk about business when you had that dinner?
Yes.
There you go.
Mommy, what is it that you do all day?
If you genetically modify it, maybe.
Raise it in the backyard.
Yes.
Well, that's a good problem to have, though, April. I feel like being disturbed at what you're spending means
that I'm working.
Yeah, things are going well in the Pivoteau house.
That I'm working, that I have the money to spend, that I need my children to be somewhere so I can work, which is
But don't
perfect.
You also need your children to be somewhere so that they don't go batshit crazy?
I'm more concerned about working.
I know.
Because listen, they can't, you know, if when all else fails, we have a backyard.
Right.
You know, like that's, but it's more about like they're coming in and out of the backyard and they're asking me for something and can I have a spoon and can I have something? And I think they're in
Did
the neighbor's backyard.
Did our moms do so much snacking and water for us?
Nope.
Like, I mean.
Nope.
I had 3 meals a day and that was lucky. And
yeah, I would like dig through
no
the refrigerator for something.
Whatever you stuffed in your pockets on your way out the door.
Totally.
That was it. Yeah.
The water bottle everywhere. I mean.
Water bottle. I know, right? Where are the fountains?
I must have been the most.
It was a hose for me.
A hose at the backyard
hose. You
thirsty,
you come in, you stay in it. Hose.
That was a nice cold water from our. I mean, where I grew up, a nice cold water coming from that. That's refreshing.
It is.
That's
making
refreshing. Oh, I don't remember. I think I was probably dehydrated.
You probably were. But yeah, fantastic intro to our fabulous guest here today. When we're talking black girls on hashtag Oscars So White, we have Shauna Robinson and we have Tash Gray.
Yes.
Both, you can't see them, so I'm just going to say you're both black ladies.
Last time we checked.
Ladies of color.
And April and I are not.
And we are not.
We are not.
And they're also screenwriters.
Yep.
And they live here in LA. And I would like them both to introduce themselves and tell us a little bit about that.
All right, Tash, you go first.
I'm going first. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm a writer on a good day.
This is Tash talking.
Yes, this is Tash. It's really Natasha, but unless you're writing me a check, you don't need to know that. And I'm actually from LA. So, yeah.
Wow.
Too bad for me.
Yeah, you don't find that often.
Yeah, it's an anomaly. Every time I say that, they go, no, like, did you get here around 3? No. I was literally born a couple of blocks from where I live now in Culver City.
Wow.
Will you talk a little bit about, like, how you got into writing and what you're working on? And-
I got into writing like 6 or 7 years ago. I came out of film school and decided that I was going to be like the female Spike Lee, and that didn't happen. I don't know why, but
you're still young. I mean,
yeah.
It could
I'm
happen.
Looking at her skin, going, she's still young.
I know, I'm like, she's very young.
So I made a couple of short films, and you know that went well. And I decided I'm going to try to direct for TV, and so I, you know, appropriately stalked some female TV directors. There's like 6, not that many.
Yeah.
Diversity problems. Mm-hmm. And Debbie Allen, who we all know from Fame and choreographer and, you know, actress. She's also a TV director. She was the first woman to direct a primetime show.
Wow.
Fame back in the day.
She directed Fame.
Yes.
She also was,
You want this? Right here is where you start paying. So
on that show, she was like, you guys, I'm directing. They were like, okay, lady. So she's been directing since then. She saw my short and was like, yeah, you can shadow me, you know, learn about the directing of TV. And when I did that, I realized, nope, it's you're Debbie Allen and you're still for hire. And so I'm going to try to write. And that was in 08, which will connect to Shauna's story. And I met a lot of writers and they went on strike. And when they went on strike, I started going. I lived down the street from Sony. I would go up to the picket lines and, you know, bring them snacks.
And was that your way of sucking up, basically?
That's how I learned a lot. I asked them as many questions as
I could come up with. Very strategic and savvy.
And very mom-like for someone who's not a mom. Who's a young lady, right?
Yeah, I have snacks in my purse right now. And learned about TV. And then I met this one lady. Her name is Tiffany. And she had a deal at Sony. And she said, you know, you're funny. You should write a spec, comedy spec. And I had seen a friend of mine's check, Shauna's, and I thought it was going to be just the filmmaker. And then I went, no, let me try this TV thing. And I wrote a spec. She read it and was like, it's good enough, which I was like, what does that mean? She was like, trust me, everybody else is horrible. So this is really good. And I applied to the programs. I got into NBC. The programs are diversity television programs.
Will you tell us, just for the people that aren't as Hollywood savvy as you, what that means?
So, at some point, Hollywood was sued by the NAACP.
Mm-hmm. And also the, go ahead.
And who else? Who else sued them?
The Friends girl, the black chick.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Aisha Tyler?
No. Somebody behind the scenes. She actually worked with me on that other show, the Oxygen show. Sorry.
Continue. Oh, yeah. So they got sued and they were like, you know, it's clearly like you're purposefully keeping people that aren't white males out.
Yeah.
And so the networks and studios responded and said, we're going to come up with some programs that will allow for inclusion and go out and find those talented writers. And so right now, every network has one. Every studio has one, from NBC, CBS, Nickelodeon, Disney, ABC, HBO, Fox.
It's true.
Well, I just
and then there's
Disney
ancillary programs as well that don't fall under a studio head, but are still meaningful.
So meaningful, yeah.
Opportunities to submit, even if you're not agented or white or male.
Yeah, you don't have to have an agent. You don't have to have a manager. You don't have to even be in LA.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of programs you can apply from anywhere.
Wow.
And so I applied to NBC's program, which is called Writers on the Verge, and I applied to Warner Brothers program. And I was a finalist in Warner Brothers, and then I got into NBC's program. And so that's kind of when someone said, oh, you can write, little girl.
What happens when you get in? Like, what do they provide you? What is the program?
So when you get in, the program is, they're all different. But for NBC's program, it's called Writers on the Verge because they're like, you're on the verge of staffing. It's just that because...
And staffing means you'll be on the staff of
a show. That you'll get on a television staff. Like, it's not one white guy in a room. It's like 12 white guys in a room.
Yeah.
writing your favorite show. Yeah. So they're like...
No matter what the show is.
No matter what the show
is. We're all in love with Tash now.
Unless it's... what's that Family Guy? Then it's 22 white guys.
Yeah. And one girl.
And one Asian girl. She's a badass Asian. I want to meet her. That's really their writer's room, too. So they say, oh, you're ready to be staff. But, you know, they're saying we don't know them because we hire our friends. We hire people we know. So, you know, the networks and studios say, okay, we're going to find those talented people. So NBC says, here they are. They have good writing samples. They know how to speak. They're not crazy. They won't go, you know.
They're not going to set the plantation on fire.
They won't, basically.
Sorted.
Yes. Yeah, they'll let you tell at least two racist jokes and one sexist joke a week.
Right. A day.
And they'll let you grab their ass on a
camera. You know, say all kind of, you know, random shit. But so the program is, okay, now we've identified you for the next 16 weeks, you will write another spec. You'll write another original pilot. You'll learn everything we possibly can tell you about TV. You'll meet with executives. You'll meet with managers. You'll meet with agents. And it's like twice a week, sometimes three times a week after work. So it's like seven to whenever we left. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, there's like a meet and greet. And the intent is then to try to get someone to staff you.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So
to hire you to be on their show, to write
to
for their show.
To hire you to write for their show, to be a part of, yeah, their staff.
And mm-hmm. with the Disney program, it's the most competitive.
Oh, yeah. I did that one, too.
And the highest pay and you would expect the highest outcome based right. on those right. standards.
I did, too. So wow. I've been pimping programs yeah. for some time now.
They've been pimping you. Yeah.
You know.
She's in the program.
It's been, you know, a two-way street. But after NBC's program, which is ran by Karen Horn, who's great and awesome, she was just coming in. So you have to have those relationships. So my class kind of didn't, you know, get the gung-ho that we probably wanted.
Meaning you didn't get the outcome afterwards.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You didn't matriculate. It wasn't most of us
did not get staffed after that.
So how did you get staffed?
So the next year, NBC, that I will say the program gives you validity. So now I could meet around town and I could, you know, have general meetings and do all of that. So I was getting known, you know, around town, and I got like a freelance for a cable show, and I was coming close to staffing, but you, mm-hmm. as Shauna will attest, even if they read you and like you and there's no one to, you know, kind of recommend you or bid for you or just be like, oh no, give her a chance. If it's no one to like say, yeah, you can do it.
Mm-hmm. A writer's room is sort of like a fraternity, and someone has to give you the secret handshake to, it's like, they want to know mm-hmm.
that. Yes. Yeah.
They want to know that you know somebody. And
that mm-hmm. wink. Somebody needs to wink on your behalf mm-hmm. or not, like you said. Or they're kind of like,
it's like the mob. They got to vouch for you. And you got to be a maid.
I can't be a maid. What's your bloodline? So my manager, was like, you need to apply to another program. And she suggested the Disney ABC. And as Shauna said, it's very difficult to get in because even if you don't get on a show, they pay you.
Yeah.
So
a living wage.
A living wage. Yeah. And mm-hmm. and insurance and all of that. So it's the, you know, it's the one that most people want to get in because they know, well, even if no one takes me, I'm gonna get paid. They're gonna pay me to write.
Right. Yeah.
So I just was like, no, I'm not applying. I already did a program. Like someone's bratty kid. Yes, craziness. I write circles around most of these people.
Yeah.
But I did, because she was like, well, we'll do staffing, but still apply. And so I did, and got in. I got into the Disney ABC program. And I wasn't staffed within 2 weeks of being on the program. Like, I only went on one meeting, and he was like, yeah, we want to take her. And so that was my first staffing experience.
And what was that show?
It's a Disney show called Dog with the Blog.
My kids love that show.
So I am famous to your kids. You yes, tell your kids you're with me. They were like, does she know the dog?
That's awesome.
I love this.
So I was staffed on that show, yeah.
Yeah. Good for you.
So, Shauna, I know your story is similar but different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Tash and I met at UCLA, and we both went on to become screenwriters, and we networked in an organization called Organization of Black
Screenwriters.
Screenwriters. It's mm-hmm. been a while since I've been there.
Yes, yeah.
I was living in the Bronx before I moved back to LA, and I was debating between journalism, which at the time my then ex-husband was doing, or being trying to do on-air reporting mm-hmm. or screenwriting. And I was like, what would pay more and what would be more fun? So then I did some research and decided I wanted to try to be a screenwriter. And I sent out a Sex and the City spec. And I won a contest at OBS 50,000 years ago. And that was how I started my career. And that spec got me into a meeting at Girlfriends, which is basically the predecessor of Sex and the City, which gets no credit for it, but that's okay because it's a black show. And it was the number, I'm sorry.
No, no.
That is so true.
And that was in the era when there was a CW and a WB, this right?
Yes, and a UPN.
UPN.
Yeah. When networks are building their backs.
Yeah, exactly. We called it United People's Network.
Yeah, United People's
So anyway, I got staffed on that show through a couple of ways. They had a program called a Writers Training Program, which is a defunct. It was in the Guild.
No, it's
and
still
basically,
there.
Sure.
No one uses it, but it's still there.
Okay. All right. Well, that's how I got into the Guild. I mean, that's how I got into Girlfriends. And then I also did the Cosby Show program. Which is crazy.
This is a whole other, yeah.
So the conversation just turned.
And no, I never met him. So
and she was
yeah,
never drugged.
Say no.
But you were a fellow. I saw that you said you were a Cosby fellow. So they had fellowships?
They did.
There?
It's like a competitive, not as competitive as any of the programs.
And probably not competitive anymore.
Yeah. But it was basically like you go to USC anymore. For yeah. 6 months, I mean, for 12 weeks, and you do education about your backstory, your life history as a person of color. And you also learn how to write very well. And then they wanted to present you and make sure that you could represent both well. It was kind of silly because I majored in AFRAM at UCLA, but whatever. I can never learn too much. And
but also, I mean, I think the underlying thing here is, like you mentioned this about going in the room, it's like if you're somebody who's in television and you've grown up on white television, I don't think there's a mystery there. You're pretty clear.
That's a good point. Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's like, yeah, no, I know totally. What this is about. Like,
yeah. And then yeah. I wasn't invited back, which is code for fired on my girlfriend's show.
You never get fired in Hollywood.
You don't get invited
They just
back.
Go a different
you
way.
Get a, you exactly. get a you exactly. get a kind yeah. maybe.
You, well, I think you just not, it. We my husband and I call it like good news travels really fast in Hollywood, and bad news doesn't travel. You just don't hear from anyone.
That's
like
a great
yeah,
way to say
there's
that.
Just like dead silence, yeah. and you're like,
and the indignity of the silence was a challenge for me.
And you're asking your
honest.
Agent, hey, have you heard? Yeah. And it's like that was 3 months ago, and the show's already on. And
hello, been yeah. there. And so I took a couple of years off, you know, kind of on accident and on purpose, which worked out well because I ended up getting pregnant on accident and had my baby on purpose. So it was fine. And then I got staffed on another show just when I thought, oh, this will never happen. And I was really excited. And then the writer's strike happened and everything went to shit. And now I'm an entrepreneur and I'm opening up a women's gym and day spa in Los Angeles. And I still write.
And selling a movie.
Trying to yeah, sell a movie.
She's doing
it's
a
my first time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great
so
concept.
So it also thank seems you. Like, you know, you guys both have achieved sort of what most aspiring writers would call
yeah.
it. And it's
they
still...
They say only 4% of us ever cash a check in the Writers Guild. 4%.
4%.
So but, I'm always like, wow, I'm in the 4%? That's
yeah.
fucked up.
Yeah.
And it's still, you know, it's still
4%.
Hard.
4%. That's, mm-hmm. yeah. And then just, I mean, I'm still thinking about, you know, what you said about Debbie still having to like go out mm-hmm. and hustle for work is who she
I
is.
I mean, like, she doesn't have to hustle, but in the sense of, if you look at, and the Directors Guild did publish these numbers, so I'm not going to make them up, but if you look at how many females directed television, mm-hmm. it's shameful.
Yeah.
It's just really shameful. Mm-hmm. So, you have someone that's been directing all this time. She should be able to direct whatever television
pick her
show.
Projects and,
yeah,
yeah.
Pick they her should project. Be calling her.
They should be calling her on a regular
yeah,
basis.
Absolutely.
And she's made her mark. I mean, she
absolutely,
works a lot with yeah. you know Shonda Rhimes
yeah,
and
she,
the Shonda Land
scandal
camp.
Recently,
yeah,
she, I know she did some stuff at Lifetime when my husband was
yeah,
there.
Yeah, she works, but yeah. I'm saying like.
But she's not. You're not like, oh my god, we got to attach Debbie Allen.
Yeah, we
got to
get Debbie Allen.
And then everything's
going
to fall in place,
push
right?
Over.
And they
should
just say, we got to get Debbie yeah. Allen. You know, right. like because right. she's been directing mm-hmm. all these years. She has this wealth of knowledge and information, and she's a performer and an actress. And it's
and
like.
She's great.
She yeah. is. She's very mm-hmm. talented. So when you look at people like that and then you wonder what's going on and, you know.
So then the Oscars being so white is no surprise.
Yeah.
It's not. I mean, no. Ava DuVernay has a show on,
mm-hmm. on OWN.
OWN. And she just announced that she's only having female directors yeah. for her show.
Which is
that's
wow.
just
fantastic.
That's and it's just show. Like.
Mm-hmm. Now if Shonda Rhimes does yes. that, then we're in business.
Yeah.
I mean.
She does a lot. She's
yeah.
broken. I mean. That lady has desegregated the primetime television in a way that I don't know if anybody else could have.
Yeah.
She, I don't know if you probably have heard that, well, no, maybe not, but you've heard the story before. When I went to a writer's salon with her many moons ago, it was just when Grey's Anatomy became a big hit, and she said that she told the agents to send her anybody for writing, and By the way, I don't know if you know this, but the reason that we talk about racism is because I had an agent for a couple of years, and these are the calls that I would actually get. So we kind of need somebody with a black voice, but not too black. Do you think you could do that? Okay, now they're looking for comedy, like, you know, the Parkers. Do you do that? Like, every, and yes, not exactly.
Black are you going to be at all? It's just like, this is one niche thing that's going to happen ever. Once every 2 years, and you're right for that, but we're not going to call you otherwise.
That's what we
mean. Right. Yeah. It's a right. black it's, person on this yeah. show, so we're going to submit you.
Right.
Yeah.
Without it's a doubt. Like, and yeah. and I've sat in front of white producers and had them say things like, I really loved your script. Wow, I didn't know black people could be funny.
Whoa.
Right to me as a joke.
Whoa. Yeah, that's hilarious.
And you would hope that you're like, sitting in a room as a writer and that there's not necessarily a discussion right. of...
I believe that. I would hope that. Absolutely.
There's just a discussion
you think
of your...
some awareness yeah. of what decent people... Not even decent people, just like people. Yeah. Just well, how people
I,
should
I kind of think white people
or...
write for us all the time. Straight Outta Compton was written by a white woman. I didn't know that. She was fantastic. It was
right.
a great
woman
film.
Man because they got nominated for an Oscar.
And right. And well, she was also on this panel that we, that I went to at the Guild. But my point is, there's a question when we are presented to write for them. And how did I learn how to write? By
you
writing
watch
for
television
four girls on Sex and the City. Right. And, you know, like, right. I mean, it's
well,
not...
same way any of us do.
Exactly.
You know?
It's not yeah. even... I mean, I just feel like it's people get confused by that. And I think they also get confused by the term diversity. Diversity does not mean quotas. It doesn't mean we're going to have exactly 13% black representation and 51% female representation. It means diversity of thought, ideas, religions,
absolutely.
Races,
well,
ages, yeah.
perspectives,
weights,
yeah.
skin
everything.
Colors, everything.
Experience.
Everything.
Yeah. And moms, non-moms. I'm
yeah.
sorry.
No. It's perfect. I'm just saying, I feel like that's kind of, you know, a lot of people have been discussing the Oscars and what's going on. And I think that's really what's coming up rather than these 20 actors and the 20 actors the last year. It's yeah. really more about like, everybody in the room, yes. everybody in the business and yeah. every single thing. And then today, or this week, The Hollywood Reporter had this headline that I thought really, really nailed it. And the headline is simply, why black films have to be about MLK and white movies can be about a mop inventor.
I read that. It was great.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, which so is
great.
So true. Because
so definitely true.
That's that, you know, that's the problem, you know, when you look at it. You know, I looked at the list of all the Oscar nominees to say, can I, you know, actually speak on all of them? And I have seen them all except for Brooklyn. I was the only one that I hadn't seen just because mm-hmm. I was just like, so? And the reason I said so
and
was because it's that yeah. point that, you know, in order for, you know, there to be a film that's non-white driven, it has to have this huge story, this mm-hmm. huge triumph. It has right. to be Selma, or it has to be Beast
slavery
of No Nation.
Or, yeah.
It just be a story.
Much about child yeah. slavery or right. 12 yeah. years a slave. And yeah. that's what we have to have. Or, you know, even yeah. when Denzel won for Training Day, like he yeah. was like.
That speech was crazy. Remember? He was like, yeah. you guys are giving me an award for this?
Right. Okay. It was like, see what else I did? Yeah.
Yeah. Malcolm X, come yeah. on. Yeah. You guys Malcolm know, X but whatever.
Yeah.
Or even Taraji Henson yeah. said oh, it yeah. in her Golden Globe. Like, are you giving it to for a chick that was in jail? But yeah. when I was in Benjamin Button, you didn't want to see me. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's like we don't have those options. We don't get those little boutique films, you know. Mm-hmm. Like we couldn't even do Joy.
Right.
Which is a very, you know, small
maybe that's
story.
Okay.
It's
very small story.
Yeah, yeah, we didn't miss that. But I'm just yeah. saying we no. couldn't have done yeah,
you don't get to have life moments. You have to have epic moments.
Epic.
It has
epic.
To be epic.
Yeah. Although don't you think in terms of acting, most people win for their big splashy
sure.
role. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, but not Joy. I mean
I know, that's silly.
I mean, and not to pick on Jennifer Lawrence.
No, we like her. we want her in our squad.
But,
we want
yeah.
to be able to say we have
yeah.
a squad.
We have a squad. But yeah, but it really was like the smallest movie possible about a white woman who invented a mop. And that's yeah. what we're, I mean,
right.
it just, it is really like a
I'd like to see
stark
a spoof
contrast.
Of Joy with black ladies.
I'll write it.
I mean,
go. There you go. There
and
it is.
Then they would be inventing a lot more than
yeah,
mops,
exactly.
though.
It would
be like,
be,
really?
It would
is that
be,
where we got that yeah. from?
I mean, that's someone to celebrate. But yeah, and something else that just happened last weekend, I was out with a couple of friends, and we were talking about this issue, and we're all white, all white ladies, you know, between the ages of like late 30s to 50. And
50.
No. just it was you, Meredith. It was you.
No, hilarious.
I don't even know a 50-year-old.
I wasn't invited.
I'm not that old.
You were like, that's not my spot.
It was ladies that are not millennials, funny. Ladies yeah. that are not, you know, haven't kids. Grown up with yeah. as much, you know, everything around them. And the funny, we're talking about the Oscars and we were talking about like what we'd seen and why there were no, you know, black actors. And the most insane thing was this group of this demographic. And we were like, did you see Straight Outta Compton? And we couldn't stop talking about it. Really? And we couldn't stop yeah. saying how much we loved it and what we thought. And it stayed it's with true. Us. And it's like, how did a movie that attracts this specific audience... Mm-hmm.
It gets, and I think it gets kicked away because it's too blockbuster. I feel like sometimes that can backfire.
Like Star Wars.
You know, yeah. I don't it's really, so. It's insane. No. It doesn't make no. any sense to me.
But the actors too, the actors were so good. It's like.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, I mean, because you could think of a lot of other blockbuster films that still got the recognition.
Titanic.
Titanic.
Come on.
That was, which, that was the first one.
I hated Titanic.
The whitest
I'm sorry.
Movie ever.
Ever. No, come on. Ever.
I'm but didn't 8 Mile do really well? Like, didn't 8 Mile get they a lot got, of Oscar nominations.
They got music nominations.
Music, yeah.
It was a
I think
big
Eminem
deal.
Got, Eminem
I
did
think
well.
They got yeah. writing too, but I might I be making
it was
that
the
up.
First yeah, time, sure. But that was a white star, so that's
yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying.
Eminem, the white
yeah.
guy of
yeah.
hip hop,
the white rapper.
But
yeah.
like even with Straight Outta Compton, you know, mm-hmm. it was a great film, great performances. But it was big. It yeah. was about big moments.
Absolutely.
In
changing
order for
America.
And it still yeah. almost did not get made. It sat on the shelves for 7 years. Yeah. And I mean, one of the stories that I heard that is that the only reason it got made was because they wanted Ride Along too. Mm. And Will Packer was like, you take Straight
really?
Outta Compton
interesting.
Off
backstory.
The of the shelves.
Wow.
We'll do this one too. Yeah. I mean,
wow. I don't know if it would have been Straight Outta Country and it would have been country music. It may have gotten
I mean, it would have been
awards.
Walk the Line, yeah. didn't it? They, like, they
yeah,
you know,
swept it.
We blinked and it was like, we're going to make it.
How much do I hurt these guys?
I also think that it's interesting or just the dynamic of, you know, Straight Outta Compton was the biggest movie. In the, was that the fall or summer?
It
and
was,
then
yeah, early.
Star Wars
early
has a black and female cast mm-hmm. As leads. And I think the number one Broadway show right now is a black show.
Hamilton.
Like, so basically,
it's a diverse yeah. show.
We're yeah. running shit. Except yes. in all this.
Right.
You know, like for this very moment, like the president is a Negro. Like we are, this is a big deal. And, but there's no connection.
There's no connection.
Like, and I say this whenever I go to these diversity meetings, I'm like, all of you guys voted for Obama. I see the stickers literally in your
on your Priuses. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like you are uncomfortable with having, and they always say this, like, it's not me. It's my blah, blah, blah. You know, it's not.
It's a pass the buck.
It's.
Well, I think there's a thing
in
this article.
It's the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Asian. So, it's like the Asian market, they're all racist, so they don't want black people starring there. I read exactly. that in this article in another column, and I was like, way yeah. to pass that buck all the way to China. Like,
so
what?
It's easier to win, to run for president as a black person than get an Oscar nomination, is what we're saying. You can be president before you can be the best actor.
I mean, you can be, before you write on our show. Like, because,
but that
I
is,
mean, we're just going to give you that one time. You guys are getting really beside yourself if you think you're going to get something
racism
else.
Is over because Barack Obama is. Became president.
It's actually, are we all done? I heard some white people talking at a restaurant near my house, and I live out in Timbuktu, Westlake Village, Thousand Oaks area.
Well, that's like
the whitest area.
It is.
I don't want to throw shade at where you live, but
I'm driving
that's
up
what
the quotas.
It's like that. I mean,
they actually said, you know, straight up, you know, I don't know what else they want. They already have a black president.
Wow.
Can they stop complaining about things? And I was just like, golly gee, you think that. For me, at least, you get naive for like 3 seconds because, you know, you want your kids to grow up in a beautiful, diverse world where people can be whomever they want to be. And then you hear shit like this and you're like, what age are you? How old are you? Know, like, where did you come from? Am I in a movie? And it's
and
no,
that you think it's
life.
Okay to say that out loud.
Absolutely.
Like, that's the other part that it sounds like in the rooms you've been in. Like, I just heard, and this is, I'm going to get off topic for 2 seconds. We're going to go right back. But I just heard about a female writer who was on a show who just... left and did something else, and like she was the only female, and she was getting dick pics from the like one of the dude writers. It's like this is
like any guy writer has a big dick. Like you want to see that.
That's sad.
So anyway, the point. So anyway, to back to what we're talking about, it is about like the dominance of the room of the casting of, you know, all of these other things that are not making these movies even happen. Mm-hmm. So they're not.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's 3 big movies that have black leads. So let's pick, like, it's just the whole system is not working. But it does, you know, we talked about Shonda Rhimes and you all work in television. Mm-hmm. It does seem to be better in television.
That's
a lie.
Can I just finish that
That's
quick
a lie.
Shot?
Okay. Okay.
Shonda Rhimes story and I'll make it really
sure.
fast.
Sure. Yeah.
So at the Guild function, wherever that was, Fairfax High School years ago, she said to all the agents, send me whomever you have. I don't really care. Just send me whatever writer you have. and that she got nothing but, you know, Mike's, Joey's, Abraham's, like nothing but male scripts. And she's like, I don't understand how this is possible. I said, send me everybody. And the agent said to her, when you say everybody, we assume that you mean the people who aren't been in the industry for a while, and they're usually white, well, you know, white guys. And she's like, no, I mean everybody. And they're like, everybody? And she's like, everybody, or you're fired. And so the next day she got all of the other scripts and casting calls, and that's her process. I mean, wow. She talks about it very openly in her book, which I read. She's changed a lot, but it's still not enough.
It's like the Shonda Rhimes is the Barack Obama. It's like, kinda, you've got, yeah. You know, she's doing a lot of things, but she's the only one out there really changing.
She's the one,
and Lee Daniels. And
in my opinion, she's one who's willing to sacrifice something for the greater good. Like because she's got an empower position and she can do it.
Yeah.
But there's so many other people who try and they just literally get, I mean, it's sad.
Yeah, I mean, there are the people that want to do it, but then when they get in that position, you know, they also, you know, don't want to fight too much, because then if the show fails, it's because you wanted to make it diverse.
Yeah.
It's because you wanted to do
that. Is that a conversation that's happening?
Yes. I mean, yes, it happens all the time. There are
many wonderful people in the guild who are not black or of any ethnic background other than just generic white American dudes who are fighting for this cause, and they rally, they come to us, they talk to us. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like, you know, slavery happened because it ended because of white abolitionists as well. I don't want to make it sound like every person is doing the exact same thing, but there is a dominant pattern since the beginning of this country where people are oppressed, and it shows up on our screens.
Well, yeah. Don't you think there's a lack of diversity even just with women? I mean, mm-hmm. whatever color you are, there's a lack of diversity of thought. It's a very, if you look totally. At a writer's room, it's yeah. a very similar kind of person in there, which doesn't make them a bad writer. But, yeah. You know, I remember I went to the Emmys one year and seeing the credits mm-hmm. of all the comedy shows mm-hmm. from, you know, Conan to this one, to that one. And if there was one female,
there was one.
Mm-hmm. And wow. I think we're funny.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm. but they don't think we're funny. You think
well,
we're
no,
funny.
I used to do stand up and I remember hearing, oh, you're funny for a girl. Yeah. And I was like, does that mean I'm funny? Or
yeah.
I'm,
and you're an attractive girl. So they automatically thought, oh, she's pretty. No, she's not funny.
Oh, Tash. Yeah.
You don't have to be funny if you're attractive, because like, I mean, people just give you stuff. So why did you develop a personality? That's
but
a waste
I think
of time.
Women, no matter what you look like, women are automatically, we know what it's like, no matter, even a supermodel, mm-hmm. Maybe. But women know what it's like to feel like we are the other.
Yeah, without a doubt.
There is not a woman that doesn't know what it's like. Mm-hmm. And
I agree.
The representation mm-hmm. is incredibly small.
Well, you know, a writer's room is, like you said, to your point, a fraternity. So, you know, when you look at a writer's room, you're in there for hours. I mean, hours. More than you're with your husband, your children, anyone else. More than I'm with myself. I can check out with myself sometimes. But you'll get there, let's say, at 10, and this is especially true for comedy. You may leave at 10. That's a good day. Arrive at 10, leave at 10.
And it could be 10 the next day. I mean,
you still come back at 10, because you could arrive at 10, leave at 1:30, 2 in the morning. You're still back at 10. And because you're together that long, it said you want to be comfortable with the people you're in this room with. Mm-hmm. And in order to get to story, you tell everything,
yeah,
you know,
you do.
Mm-hmm. Every story you can think of. It may be about, you know, colonoscopy or pap smear, whatever gets you to the story. Mm-hmm. So it's so intimate that, you know, they all want to be funny. I want to be comfortable to get to this story. And I might can't tell about how I had this racial slur
right.
with her sitting next to me, or how I called this woman the C word with this.
Or how I cheated on my wife on Tuesday nights.
Yeah, you won't feel as comfortable.
I mean, but that's silly. I mean, I know it's discriminatory still. I feel like we are forced. Do you guys know the phrase code switching? It means like...
No.
Basically, when I'm on a mic or I'm in this situation, I speak very Euro-fied, if you could say. But when I'm, you know, when I'm in my hometown with my cousins in East Oakland, I might speak a little differently, and that's code switching.
Yeah.
And our whole life, we code switch, but nobody's code switching for us.
You know? Right.
Which means
we have
to. That's a good point.
We have to have taken to, you know, account other people's perspectives. Mm-hmm. We are never able to, as a Black woman, I'm never able to not consider you, you,
absolutely,
that other person, because I know that will put me in a very horrible situation.
Want to offend you. I don't want to freak you out. Right. I'm gonna ease you into my Blackness.
Because we don't know what it may mean to you, how it may, you know,
it's a
put
slow
you
burn
on
your Blackness.
Exactly. Yeah.
See how much of it you can handle. I mean, because you went to UCLA, which is a, you know, PWI, predominantly white institution.
Well, it's a PWA. I went there.
It's predominantly
Asian.
PWC, predominantly cheating. But, but I mean, in that sense, if I went to a HBCU, you know, it's a
historically
total
Black.
Oh yeah, a historically Black college.
Thank you. I know. I don't know what that is.
You know, that's a different environment. You know, it's very nurturing because they're like, oh, we're going to send you into that world where they don't expect you to do well,
and maybe don't want you to.
Don't want you to. They think you're going to fail, so we're going to build you up so that when you get out there, you know, you're able to deal with all these different things.
And it's so, I talked about something briefly that this is just ringing every bell. It's so interesting because we live in California, you lived in New York, and it's like the coast, the liberal, whatever. Totally. And then something we just discussed in relation to all of this is the Trump candidacy and how he's out there saying all these things and offending all these beings, you know, a total
but
racist.
But he's not offending. I think he's saying what people are thinking.
Well,
which
that's
is why
it's
he's
the,
doing well.
It's the fan. It's the people that are in it. Are these same guys in the room that are like, oh, I'm uncomfortable. You're making me uncomfortable because I can't make.
Right. I don't know.
A racist joke.
The guys in the room are the 13 Jewish guys that went to Harvard.
Yeah, but if
they're
you're somebody
Trump's
who's
people.
Like, but if you're a guy in a room who's thinking like, I'm
by the way,
uncomfortable
I'm Jewish, so
with
good.
This person because I can't make a racist joke or a sexist joke, you are somebody who's like super comfortable with Donald Trump. He'll say all of it.
Well, I think that the challenge is, for at least we're not asking you never to make a racist joke. We're in comedy. We
but
get
it,
that.
But it's more but, the person
I mean,
that's...
Just to be honest, it's not that. We just want a room where you can be honest and we can go through uncomfortable moments, heal, and then move forward. Like, have the dialogue.
Right.
I mean, I've made all types of horrible jokes on girlfriends. I mean, I can't lie and say that. That's, you know, we start someplace kind of awful, and then we get someplace kind of good.
That's how comedy wouldn't happen without some sort of crossing the line.
Just like we just made a joke about PWI, PWC, PWA. I don't think that's horrible. It just is what it is. You know, now if somebody said, I want to set all the Asians on fire or you know,
that might be bad.
No, it's about pushing somebody out of the room.
But to your point, my husband recently said on Martin Luther King Day, he was helping his mom do something and he overheard neighbors in Oxnard say, this is such a stupid holiday, but I am glad to have the day off.
Wow.
And I'm actually writing and shooting my first short about it called, I'm comparing MLK Day to Columbus Day.
Yes.
And I'm going to do, but anyway, you know, stupid calls.
We want to see
holiday.
That.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. But anyway, my point is he thought that my husband believes that it's because of Trump. He's like, he believes that Trump is creating an environment where people will say things that they would never say. I don't care. I'd rather have somebody call me a nigger so I could run. You know, like I just would like. I,
how about
I don't...
those girls that? Did you see those?
Yeah, so
the six girls that wore
idiots.
That.
I still don't even understand what happened there. I'm like, what?
I don't understand it. I'm like,
it was
what
for
was
their
that?
Senior portraits, and they took a group photo in six of them.
Why would they?
I don't know. And one of them
funny.
Was dating. A
Black
nigger. And she was like, it was for him. You a lie.
What is that?
But
it doesn't make any sense.
It
There's
make
nothing
sense.
That makes
but
sense
I'm
about
like,
it.
Why? What? It's six of you. Not one of you thought this
not
is not
one.
A good.
Well, we should just say, so for the listeners, is that six girls wore shirts that spelled out
each
nigger.
One. But they had asterisks.
Asterisks.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the G's.
Because they knew. That's another thing. You had asterisks because
you knew that it was
you
not
had
okay.
no business saying that. Because you know, didn't, it would have
so
been
so you took the time to get an asterisk. That's a great point.
To be politically correct with your insult and your
It's interesting because it's such a politically correct time where I think even as a writer I question all the time is this and you know is this crossing the line, is this too far, and yet what's actually happening is a very unpolitically correct time and we have an African-American president yet we have Donald Trump spouting hate.
Yeah, absolutely.
And people cheering him and mm-hmm. saying, and his slogan is making America great again. Mm-hmm. And so what's yeah. the, what's exactly. the again?
Yeah.
What's,
well,
it's,
you know,
it's
it
the
is.
Most insulting yeah. thing in the world. I mean, yeah. as an American to yeah. me, to say that we need to be great again.
Yeah.
Make us greater. That's fine. But yeah. great yeah. again. Like get rid of everything.
Like, well, go so back what to, is your, yeah.
go back to the way exactly. it was.
Yeah.
Right.
Which
right.
I think that open. In the Black community, we thought, I won't speak for you. I thought that like, it's a miracle that Obama got elected and we're kind of, I'm an atheist, but if I did pray, I would pray that he wasn't going to be shot and
totally.
Assassinated every single day.
Yes.
Just because I assumed yeah. that that would happen.
I mean, that, yeah.
I did too.
But I yeah. totally think that the Trump is a different subject, but Trump is just a, you know, a backlash, a,
yes.
you know, just a,
yes.
a
all
shotgun
those people
in the
that
wind.
Were so upset about yeah. what happened and were afraid to say it because we were saying, don't say that. We're like, oh, he's giving us permission.
But mm-hmm. don't you think that yeah. with sort of the Trumpism and mm-hmm. the police shootings mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. the very poor representation in the Oscars, mm-hmm. that's more than a backlash to me.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I mean, it's well, like even with the police shootings, people are like, oh, my God, it's just increasing. No, it's mm-hmm. not increasing.
We just
it's
see
just
it, right?
now, right. It's
video,
just now it's polarized.
Tools.
And we can see it yeah, quicker see it. Because exactly. if you even look at the civil rights movement mm-hmm. and why it became successful is because the cameras were shining
right.
a light on what was actually happening
yeah.
and you couldn't turn away from it anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why they did
it's
those
true.
Marches.
And
it wasn't like, oh, we're marching
worse.
Just for that.
When I grew up in Oakland, my dad was a Black Panther and so was my mother and I was trained. One, I'd learned how to speak to cops and I was also told to politely move to the side when somebody was arresting somebody, hide and watch and try to get the officer's name and information just in case that person ended up dead
yeah,
or you know, beaten
them.
In the jail. So.
Yeah, we're not told that is.
I grew up
in San Francisco.
I grew up
she was
in
not
Northern California
that.
In yeah. Lafayette
yeah.
and I would say my what I was taught as a mm-hmm. kid was not that. And
yeah.
Yeah.
what a disturbing reality that is. And what little kids of any color need to be taught, it, you know.
It's you know, when you think about it that way, it's insane. And at the same time, I would think that,
like,
I mean,
imagine
I've had a loving, you know what I mean? Like, I just felt like they were trying to protect me.
It was normal for
me.
You.
It was,
like,
I mean,
right,
it's
yeah.
interesting because
but they needed
if you
to.
Met my husband, he's the biggest nerd in the world. And he looked at me and said, do you know any Black men my age who have not had a gun put on them by a police officer? And
I
said,
do
I,
not.
Don't.
I
don't.
I do not.
I do not.
And if I line up the women, I would say at least
yeah.
half of them
I
were
have,
there.
Yeah.
And I was, yeah,
yeah
I have.
There. Yeah.
So you
wow.
know, that's just the existence.
And this is middle class, college
yeah.
going,
right.
professors.
Educated, all
right.
of that.
Hershey,
yeah.
Like every stereotype that should make you bland and safe, all that and then some.
It right? does not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Find a sort of a meth-smoking white guy and he's scarier.
Yeah.
They probably never had a gun pulled on him.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. So like,
yeah.
oh, that poor
yeah.
homeless
so
guy.
So what
yeah.
is... You guys are in the trenches. You're successful writers. What's the remedy? Is there one? Is it
make your own and stop complaining? I mean, that's how I feel. I'm not begging anybody for anything. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. I just and you have so many tools now. I held my own table read recently. I had my friends over. They all read it. White people, Asian people, Black people, and we, you know, read the parts. And it was fun, and hopefully, I can produce it and sell it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
she made her own recently.
Yeah, I did a TV
film.
Movie, you know, I wrote it. I wrote a TV movie called Daddy's Home. It's on Netflix and iTunes. And there's a new movie called Daddy's Home.
I
just
I
hope
know.
Everybody
I was
gets
like,
confused.
Not that one.
And just goes out and watches it thinking,
she wrote a Will
Mark?
Ferrell movie herself.
What's Mark Wahlberg? It's okay. Fun. He is
yeah.
not in it.
But don't you
watch
think
it.
Ultimately the gatekeepers have to start opening the gate?
I think you have to force the gate open. I think
yeah.
It's not a, you know, please open the gate, as Shauna
yeah.
said. It's mm-hmm. it's a force the gate open. When you have the number one shows, which are all a reflection of diversity.
Empire, yeah.
It, that's about one, the one color we all agree with is green.
Right.
So that will force the door open. And if yeah. we continue to make content that is desired, you know, because the biggest reason why they say they don't do movies with people of color as leads is because they don't sell well
internationally.
Well,
yeah.
And now we can say
that. So they're
that's
blaming
not
Europe's
true.
Racism on
yeah,
America's
China,
racism.
China,
exactly.
everybody.
Yeah.
But that's not true. That's not true no. when you see how well these films that, mm-hmm. you know, people of color have taken over on their own. And
yeah.
now most recently with, you know, Straight Outta Compton and other films.
You mentioned Fast and Furious,
yeah.
which is very diverse.
Which
cast.
Is very diverse and has
yeah.
always been diverse.
Yeah.
I don't know if, well, we don't know if he knows he's diverse, but you know, it's always been the lead character.
Yeah.
what's his name?
Tyrese, that one.
No.
Vin Diesel?
Vin Diesel is a black man.
But he self-identifies as vaguely ethnic.
Yeah.
He's our Mariah Carey. Vaguely.
No, Mariah's vaguely ethnic.
She got with Nick. Took a minute.
With a billionaire, she's going to be like, not anymore.
We put her on Jet many years ago, and she's like, no, that's not me. I don't want to be identified that way. I'm mixed.
Wow.
I'm like, girl. But soon as she started getting some problems.
Put some water in your hair and then
let's talk. She was black. Just like Michael. That happens with us.
That's true.
Definitely. We will take Michael. You back, too, because we're very accepting. We will take you back.
We're the most forgiving fuckers in the world. Because we've been through slavery.
We've been trained to forgive.
It's true.
And
it's
should just be mad and just say no. And then I don't do it. So
I can't either.
How do you guys feel about the some actors boycotting this year's Oscars and Chris Rock saying, you know, hosting and basically saying, I'm writing a new show now.
I think Chris Rock should still host because it's a paycheck and he's probably the brightest person possible for it. Yes. I respect anybody who wants to boycott it. I don't think it will make any difference at all.
But don't you think, or do you think, I shouldn't be speaking for you, something, and again, I've been reading a lot about this and I've been kind of deep in it since we've been talking about it. And the more I read, the more irrelevant the Oscars feel. I think especially for, like, I read Jada Pinkett Smith's thing about, like, you know, we're not going to beg for this and we're not. And it starts to feel like it just feels very irrelevant. It's like, who cares?
It's funny
who cares. But
to your point,
it means money.
One of my bonus daughters, which legally is stepdaughter, said to me one time, why do we have so many of our own award shows? Like, she was looking at the,
the BET Awards, NAACP.
And I said, well, why do you think? And then one of the other girls said, because we're awesome, which is cute, sweet, appropriate for a 10-year-old at the time. But I didn't want to say because they won't give us our awards.
Yeah, no one else would, you know, give us that recognition or accolades
we need,
give us, you know, some type of recognition for the hard work that goes into making these movies and films and all of that. But to the boycott question, I don't think it's going to be effective because it's not going to affect you in the pocket. Like,
I hate to say it, is like George Clooney would have to say, I'm not going. Yeah. And
George Clooney did come. He didn't say he wasn't going, but he did say something, you know, negative about it.
He supported the effort.
Which I think isn't a boycott, but I think all these people that are coming out and saying this, that, and the other are making it less important. And it's making it like where people who do win are going to feel, they're going to be thinking before they make their speech. You know,
Idris or whatever.
My other husband.
Anything for you, Daddy.
He's all of our husbands.
He's totally on my pre-approved cheat list.
Fantastic.
At the top. And at the top and bottom and middle of my list. But with the Oscars, it's like, you know, if we boycott it, what does it say? Like, I wasn't going to watch it anyway because I was like, why? But
unless there was somebody that I knew was nominated or something.
Yeah, like when 12 Years a Slave. Yeah, sure. Who am I thinking?
I know who you're talking about.
Lupita won. Yeah. I watched because I was like, I want her to win.
Sure.
So, you know, in that respect,
God, that movie.
We have to tell those movies. In that respect, I was like, okay, I'm going to watch. I do think Chris Rock is super intelligent, super funny. He's going to do an awesome job. I want to support him, but I'm kind of like, I'm going to watch your opening and then I'm done. Yeah. I'm checking out.
Well, that's
out.
The best part.
Well, but I also think that it's just relevant. It's relative to our state of entertainment in terms of, we just watch the clips the next day, whatever that is. Somebody's going to post the most interesting thing on Facebook or Twitter or Comedy Central or something, and you'll get it there. There's almost no award show that I feel like I want to watch real time. At all. It's sad.
I don't want to watch them real time. Really, I've been to the Emmys. Yeah. I don't want to go.
Totally.
If I win, when my show is nominated and I win, I'm like, what time is my, that's the time I'm coming.
You're not going to do the red carpet?
But don't you think ultimately everybody wants to be invited?
Then I'm going to go to like TGIF and chill out Olive Garden or some crap. I'll be back.
Ultimately, no matter, even whatever, we personally may not be that interested in the Oscars, but everybody should be allowed to be invited to the party. And whatever your profession is, there is always the it's the seniors inviting you to their table, but absolutely, this is also professional implications, and there's a validity and a validation that
makes money for the movies.
It makes money for the movies, but also it's a personal and professional.
You're talking about the art being stamped with basically some type of award, basically.
Yeah. And
but I think for like, for example, I wrote on very briefly the number one show on cable for, you know, at least a year, but it had been on for several years. It got nothing in mainstream media. Mm-hmm. I'm used to that. I mean, it's just not, it's, you know, like,
it's, it's almost like the Oscars. I feel like the award show isn't for necessarily Hollywood. It's for everybody else.
Right.
And then the statement it says to everybody else is, this is who is important.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And this is who makes what you enjoy and what you love and sets the tone for how we see people and how we, you know, portray people. It's these people, and this is who you should be paying attention to. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we've gotten so used to people saying don't pay attention to us that we pay attention to each other, and then we keep moving. And I feel like that's what the boycott is about. I think that's why they were like boycotted, to say, you know what, you're not paying attention to us, we're not going to pay attention to you. That's kind of where I feel like the sentiment of that came from. But I feel like it's not going to change anything. You know, it's not going to have the effect I wish it could have. And, you know, if it worked, then I'd be the main one out there screaming, protesting, all of that.
Like my t-shirt.
If I felt like it was an effective, you know, tool, but I don't think it is. And as a result, I think it kind of deflates it.
Right.
You know, makes things. And I've heard people say, you know, we're whining and all of that. And, you know, we're being ungrateful, which is the first thing you hear the as a person of color.
Yeah, without
Charlotte,
a doubt.
What's her, Charlotte Rampling?
Yeah. I mean, I've had someone, a white male writer, like, oh, I'm, you know, glad I could help someone like you out. And to say that to my face, and I was like, what do you mean, like me? You know, like, I knew exactly what he meant.
Yeah.
But it was like, that's
stop and think.
That's what that is. Yeah. It wasn't help someone like you who graduated with honors, who beat out all these people for this one little spot. Yeah. You know, over 2,000
people. 4,000 people.
Oh, yeah. 2,000, where they
you're
throw like, out 2,000.
Like 20 million.
Yeah, like, you know, I had a better shot of being struck by lightning, but I'm here, and you're like, oh, well, we helped you, pat you on the head, and go about your business. And I think, you know, it's that mentality that we're really fighting against. You know, that I went to a diversity workshop yesterday at the Writers Guild, and it was called Staffing Is Now, and it was a panel full of showrunners, and the showrunner are the people who run the television show, and they're also the person in charge of bringing in new writers. And one of the people in the room asked this question, and he was a screenwriter, and he said, you know, as a 40-year-old male, white male, coming from screenwriting, trying to transition into TV, my agent said, it's impossible. And, like, everybody was in the room like, what the?
Yeah, you're like, impossible for you?
And, like, somebody, like, kind of addressed the question, but then finally somebody was like,
dude,
you're a white guy.
You get all the jobs.
This is your guilt.
Absolutely. I mean, what are you saying? Who said that to you? And shut up. You didn't believe that, did you? Kill yourself. Like, it was horrible. But we were all sitting there feeling very uncomfortable because we were like, my room was like 8 white guys.
Yeah.
And one other woman and me. Like, the next room I went into, 10 white guys.
Totally.
And me. And you.
You know, absolutely. So it's like, that's not rampant true. Sexism. You're lying.
Yeah. There's not that many more white men.
It's
in
like
the world
when pretty, like, really hot girls are like, I'm having a hard time losing weight. You're like, no, you're not. Shut up.
I hate those girls.
Fuck off. I forgot to eat today. Booby boo. Fuck you.
Exactly. It's so true. And I would just also like to emphasize that Oscars So White is not just about black people. It's literally
Asian.
For several years, there's just not been one person who, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I know. It's like, where are the Latinas in the writer's room?
Yeah.
Are they
even there? Where is everybody?
It's really difficult for Latinos, I think.
Yeah.
It is.
It's crazy. I heard a story recently about a guy who was told to change his name from Hernandez to Cohen.
I mean, they actually have that option, though, because I could change my name to Berkowitz right now.
True that. My first name is Shauna. So
get your ass cat's out of the bag, Tash.
Just so you know. I'm like Sammy Davis Jr. up in here.
Cat's out of the bag.
We can help you with that. We can help you convert right here today.
There's this, there was, to the answer, the guy who was, you know, 40-year-old white guy, there was a white guy on the panel, and he's writing for a show, Cuban-American show on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And he told him, he said, well, you know, I'm co-show running this show, and our room, we is half Cuban-Americans. Mm-hmm. What's the other half? They can easily walk in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow. They made sure it was half Cuban-American.
Yeah.
And half what else? Right. He didn't say the other half, but we all knew.
It's white men.
We all knew what he was. Yeah. And he was saying, so there's clearly room, you know, he was like, trying to say what I'm saying.
Hemming and hawing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's amazing. That's just the reality. That's just, it just is. So like for this man.
But I also think, do we have time or do we
stop? No, I want to hear whatever
you want to say. We have endless time for you.
One more quick thing about affirmative action, basically in general, you know, we both went to UCLA and at the time they were dismantling affirmative action and it's a big to do. But anyway, years later, I went back and I worked in admissions and I saw my own application and I saw that I would have gotten in. I got in on every quadrant, but I, you know, and I would have been entered. I would have gotten in even if I hadn't have met those quadrants. Mm-hmm. But people look at you and assume that because you're here and there's these programs that you must somehow be less than in terms of your qualifications. Mm-hmm. But the point of those programs is to fight back against literally in what is it, institutional racism and sexism. They exist literally just to push back, to say, hey, by the way,
just pay attention.
You might be ignoring this little group from East Oakland, you know, like, hey, you know, that's it. That's all. Just to start the conversations. It doesn't mean that they're less than or less worthy or anything.
Yeah. Just to get them in the game.
But it still winds up being sometimes like a boomerang effect.
It can be.
When you're saying, you know, you're getting through you're the diversity person and they're
and
like,
don't you think you're always referred to as a black writer or a female writer?
Well, remember on 30 Rock when they called the guy, the black guy, Token.
Well, I love that she
which
just
was like, just said it. I know. It was like, let's just say it.
Yeah, I love it.
That's Token. He's our Token. He's Harvard and he's black.
And he's black. Yeah.
Token.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It can be a complete backlash because it's like the scarlet letter, you know, the scarlet D. I'm not talking about, you know, dick pictures, but I'm talking about diversity.
Hilarious. As a divorce woman, I went to scarlet D. Divorce.
Right. So it's basically like, oh, you came in, you know, I didn't sign with an agent. Because I knew he wanted to sign me because he was going to submit me for all the diversity slots. Right. And I said, I mean,
think about how
no,
powerful
thank
that
you.
Is. You did not want to.
I did not sign with him because I said, I'm not going to, you can't steer my career.
And hold on. If she signed with that agent, he would not read my work because
he's already got
checks
one.
Every box. She's female, boom, and she's a person of color. Boom. Oh, and black. Woo!
And she from, ooh, and no she from where they say Rodeo is rodeo.
Oh,
check that. Yeah, she's poor.
That's
check
definitely
that.
True. So it's happening at all levels. The discrimination is just bananas.
And they pass the buck because agents say, oh, I can't sign you because I can't get you a job because the showrunner doesn't want you. The network does. And then the network says, oh, well, we can't find you because agents are signing you. Mm-hmm. And then showrunners are saying, I don't know anyone. And agents are only sending me these people. And so everybody's passing the buck. No one wants to be responsible for it. And so it just continues to happen. The wheel is still turning and it's not getting any better. Mm-hmm. You know?
So what does it just have to be like this generation dies out and then the younger generation?
This has been not just this generation.
Well, I think that people have to die for there to be new life in every form. And that's awful, but true. And I also think that we just have to continue to educate people and not in a, you know, bitch hire me way, but in a, do you realize you're a racist asshole and just start the conversation way.
Did you understand what just happened?
Like, do you know that you literally looked at everybody's resume except for so-and-so's because it had an ethnic sounding, you know, syllable in it, which is bias and a whole nother subject that we could talk about for hours. The guilt does tons of research on that.
But I don't think that's one of the problems. I don't think people in Hollywood, because we're very liberal, realize that they're racist.
Oh, of course not.
That's the thing.
Because they hired Chris Rock, they voted for President Obama.
Right. So, and right. that's why they that's continue to do it.
Negroes in their lives.
Because they have a black friend. I am
Shonda.
The black friend.
Their mistress right. is a black woman.
Right.
Just to be honest. You know what I mean? Like, just, I mean, yeah, that's, they think
they have a picture on their phone absolutely. Of at least one black person.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
If for every person I have had say something, some version of, my high school best friend was black. I wonder whatever happened to him. You know, that type of thing of like, you
but
know.
I think that's why it's not going to change, because it's like, I'm not racist. That's what I'm
like
not.
You have to confront something within yourself that you yeah. don't want to. And that's very uncomfortable.
To say exactly. that I'm only yeah. looking right. for this person right. to write from. I think only you can imitate my voice and, mm-hmm. and push my vision. Anyone else is kind of like, you're an outsider. You don't yeah. understand. Mm-hmm. And until we, you know,
right.
internalize our own, mm-hmm. you know, ways of thinking, then this generation and next generation, because those kids, what were they, 17, 18?
Yeah.
That had, I mean, if we waiting
yeah.
on them,
yeah.
right.
they're not
spelling
doing
out words.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are the worst examples.
So we all need, yeah. everybody needs like lots of therapy, lots of analysis. Absolutely. I mean, yeah. honestly, like, you yeah, know, when it comes right. down to it, it's like getting real with yourself, like
without
really, like really yeah, just like sitting down and thinking.
These things don't happen overnight. You know, the mm-hmm. civil rights movement did not happen because somebody got shot. Right. I mean, it's right. decades and decades of conversations, action, and organizing.
Right. This has been the most fascinating conversation.
Fascinating.
I mean, I feel like we're real podcasters now.
Wait, I have one important question. Meredith, yes. did you double your income since last week and this week?
Not since last week and this week, but since last year.
That's
did
amazing.
You listen to the
yeah,
New Year's?
I did. And yes. I, but your thing for this year was double.
So. Well, that was last year, but
okay,
yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, I don't know what is that referring to.
So we did a New Year's resolution show, which we just put up because we're tardy and we're meltdown moms and that's how we roll. And I had said that basically my husband, who just walked in the door, Justin, hi, who his resolution for me was to double my salary. And I did it. Now, I had a shit salary to start, so it wasn't that hard.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, so we were talking
you
about
did it.
That's yeah,
wonderful.
I did it.
That's
and,
good.
And, you know,
congratulations.
I'm a one-man band here of my fingertips and a computer, so I felt sort of proud of that. So
that's terrific. That's
big.
Honestly.
Now, if I do it again, then we'll be like,
what is happening?
My God.
You overachiever, you.
You might have talent. Should we talk about our Meltdown Mom of the Week?
Yes, yes. Yes, so every week we do a Meltdown Mom of the Week, ooh. Dad of the Week, whoever.
It's a tentpole piece.
It's a tentpole piece. And this week, which has just happened and is perfectly timed with this conversation, we're kind of saying that every mom of
Every parent,
mm-hmm. everybody are kind of the moms of the week, thanks to the new Barbie revolution.
Oh, I saw that.
Did you see this? Yes. Like Barbie is now...
Barbie's gone diverse.
Yep. Gone diverse. Shapes, sizes.
She can never win an Oscar now.
She's never going to win an Oscar. Nobody's going to buy her, no. but she is out there. She'll never find jeans to fit her. Both of this actually, mm-hmm. that they actually said that this girl had one of the curvy Barbies.
Yeah, I saw that one.
And they tried to put their other Barbie clothes and they didn't fit. So yeah.
Welcome to life after children, friend.
Oh, that's funny.
Yes, but it is like a great moment. And also, and it is, again, it's all about the color green because Barbie was losing so much money. They were down 20%. And then they were like, why? And they're like, well, we're always getting complaints about like this skinny white woman who is
right.
not realistic.
She looks yeah. like she's at spring break all the time.
All the time. And nobody wants her and everybody's mad about her.
But do you think people are going to buy, you know, curvy Barbie?
Absolutely. I'm going, like my daughter's birthday is coming up and she's turning 10 and I'm going out and I'm buying them.
That's great.
Yeah.
I used to make my Barbies have a lot of sex.
That's a good
my daughter
backstory.
Might be doing that too, but you know, it's diversity of sexuality. Yeah.
And
no, I don't
my,
care.
My sister got mad at me and she cut my Skipper was the little friend of
Skipper's
Barbie.
Gone
she
away.
Cut her Skipper, my Skipper's hair yeah. off and then left the hair at my
is your sister now down. A homicidal maniac?
No. Very, very normal, nice person.
One might think, Shauna.
This is like, this is suburban white rage when we're kids.
Okay. Actually, my cousin had every Barbie. Like, she had the dream house, the Corvette, and like all the stuff. And I hated it. And she like, let's play Barbie. So I was like, yeah, fuck Barbie.
Yeah.
She don't live in a hood.
My mother was a feminist Black Panther. I didn't get Barbies.
I didn't get Barbies. Yeah, that was not for you. that was not for you.
But I like the new Barbies.
But I'm
like
going to have to support this because I like the direction. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, it is a good thing. It's a good thing for little girls to see what their body will look like.
No, it really is. It's like very, but the funny thing, you just said that, and my mother was a big feminist and also a very tall, statuesque woman. So I never got Barbie. I got Darcy, the brunette that was really big.
Linebacker Barbie.
Oh my goodness, how funny.
I got Darcy. And I've been to, and nobody else knows who I'm talking about. I'm like, Darcy, remember the big brunette?
That's so sweet of her.
I think my mom went out and had one made for me that was Captain like, this is what you're going to look Barbie. Like when that, you're older.
That's kind. Sporty Barbie. Like that. That's mothering.
But that's image.
I like
that's
that. Like, that's
I'm
going to
control the images in her. In, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want you to. Complex.
It's actually Darcy.
Darcy. Go Darcy.
So dope. And dope is a good thing.
So we're all winning here today. We're all the moms of the week. So thank you, Lady Shawnee.
Thank you
Robinson, for having us.
Tash Gray, amazing women writers, and just thank such you. A fascinating discussion. And this is the Meltdown Moms.
That's right.
Thank you to Mason Booker, our amazing engineer, Adam Silverstein for producing, and Meltdown Comics.
Yes.
We will be back.
Maybe.
Probably.
Okay.
See you soon.